the Limestone Coast Triple M. Know-it-alls footy and netball show. Thanks to the team at Ray White, Keatley, Mount Gambier and Hamilton. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M.
Greetings again, listeners. Milo, Triple M, heart of Mount Gambier, booming across the Limestone Coast southeast, 963 on your dial, keeping country footy and netball alive. Talking netball, regulars Kirsty Johnson, Middersea, Abby Shannon, Super 6, Western Border from over at Caston, of course. Moving to footy, Mal Coots, we'll talk K&T. Western Border, Super 6, Keith Hooker Ransom's our regular man for many seasons. And then Freddie Smith, we'll catch up with him at the SE Times to talk Family League Middersea. And we'll also put out calls to our Sip and Save, OK Pie Shop and Athlete's Foot, Player of the Week award winners. Stay tuned.
963 Triple M Limestone Coast Netball with the know-it-alls. Local sport on the local you know. Triple M.
Yes, we're still talking netball. It's Family League. Talking Middersea. Good morning, Kirsty Johnson.
Good morning, Milo.
Now, we did have a round. 7, lucky for some. Gotta love that bingo. Tant 63 defeated Port Mac 45. And that's that sort of win that gives Tant the jump for maybe a spot in finals.
Well, look, it does, Milo, and, you know, they're sitting in third, but they've got a chance to get into that double spot, and I think Tant are really, really working hard with their great defensive. Kate Bromley and Olivia Fuller, I think, are combining well, so look out for Tant.
Mount Burr had a go, but they went down to Hatherley 66, clickety-click 51. Real bingo flavour this morning, Kirsty. So Hatherley starting to get their best combination back.
Well, look, Hatherley have a few combinations they can use, which is great to their favour, so they're actually mixing around and seeing which one, you know, is best in whatever situation it may be. They're sitting happily in second position, so they're going along quite well.
Glencoe's score of 88 probably highlights they will play finals, defeating Nangwari, but a credible 50.
Yes, exactly. And I've said before, Nangwari are just lacking a bit of height and defence, but to get that sort of score in that a game like that, I think full credit to Nangwari. But when you've got the height of Ebony McDermott in goals, it is hard to, you know, counteract anything there.
And the Kongrong Hawkettes, gee, on a roll, two in a row, 58, knocked off Robe 41, put a big dent in Robe's finals hopes.
Look, it certainly did, but then when you look at the ladder, you know, Kongrong are above Robe, so they should probably be, you know, playing well. And when you've got a sniff to get into that four, will they have it? And look, I think they've got a team, if they can pull it together, can make a, you know, bit of a dent in that top four.
And as we've highlighted, a lot of interest below the juggernaut Kalangadu to see how it all shapes. Now, round 8, Hatherley will host Tandanula. Can Tandanula knock off close neighbour and arch rival?
Oh, look, I think this one's going to be a close one, Milo, but I think Hatherley have too many different options and, you know, a lot of switching and changing and quite a versatile side. And as we know, once Keston Green's on, she's on and she is very hard to beat, so I think Hatherley in this one.
Talk about rivalry, Derby, Port Mac Bay, the seaside, will host Kongrong. Can Kongrong go 3 in a row, or will the Port Mac Demons bring them back to earth?
Well, this is a hard one. Port Mac up and down, Kongrong, you know, they're both about the same. I actually think Port Mac will win this one. Megan Hines coming into great form. I think Port Mac will win it.
And Robe will be looking to get back in the winners list, but I don't think it'll happen because Glencoe are on a roll.
Well, they are. They're sitting in fourth, and I'm sure that they want to get up higher and consolidate themselves in that top four. So, Glencoe will win that one.
Nangwari hosts the ladder leaders, premiership leaders, and everything else Kalangadu. So, a big day ahead.
It will be a big day ahead. I just hope that Nangwari don't drop their heads and they can at least, you know, put a score on the board that is, you know, is not too bad. But look, Kalangadu at the end of the day are going to come out winners.
Queen's birthday weekend's on the horizon. That means SA Country Championships in Adelaide. The 13-under coached by Leah Puati from Mount Burr. 15-unders coach Narelle Ryan Kalangadu. And your good self, Kirsty Johnson, is in charge of the 17-unders. And the seniors, and congratulations to Middersea for having a side to go up to that, coached by Leah Uzi Kalangadu. And she's done it all on all fronts. And the vibe I'm getting, and I'll have to clarify it, I don't think Western Border are going, but we'll have to have that clarified. Kirsty, you enjoy the netball, and we'll have a chat again next Friday morning.
Sounds good, Marla. Thank you.
963 Triple M Limestone Coast Netball with the know-it-alls. Local sport on the local you know. Triple M.
Yes, Marla, Triple M. We're talking Super 6 Western Border Netball. On the weekend, there was a round of matches, and The Caston girls, Caston Sanford, of course, won't forget the connection. They took on West Gambier, and West Gambier defeated them 53-50. So that stood out as the match of the day. And on the line, a player who played in that game, played a good game, got named best player for her team. Good morning, Abby Shannon.
Good morning, Milo.
Now, you had your chance to knock off West.
Yes, it was a very good game. Unfortunately, we couldn't quite get there, but we gave it our all.
So in the final wash-up, was it taking your opportunities, rebounds? What was the main difference?
I think we just had a poor start to the game overall, and our first half wasn't the best. So we were playing from behind the whole game. But it was a really good game.
And Lisa McGregor in the best players again for the West Kangaroos. And, gee, she's probably the favourite at this stage to win her second Western Border BNF medal. So we'll keep an eye on that. Early days, a lot of netball to be played. Now, North Gambier 63 defeated East 54. So that would have been a good game as well. And Millicent 81 going along nicely. And Donna Denton leading from the front again. Ex-coach with current coach Demi Verbena named as best players, defeating South 54. Not a bad effort by the South girls. Now, we have a round, and I suppose we're heading towards the halfway mark, 16 in the season, round 7. West Gambier will host South Gambier. I probably think West are going to bounce back and get a win at home. What about you?
Yeah, I think that might be the way it's going to go for the West girls. But South will definitely improve as the season gets on. But I think West, yeah.
Now, just on West, are they pretty well the same as last time you played them, or do you think they've improved a bit? Where would you pitch them at?
I think they'd be pretty well the same as when we first played them.
Okay.
We just came off a disappointing loss the game before, so we were ready to go.
You got a few out. Now, East Gambier will journey over to Casterton, and this is just another one of those home games for you guys. You got 5 in a row. This is the third one. Now, East are obviously going to be coming over there looking to get back in the winners' list.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we can come off with another strong game as well and look where we're at for the season. But East will definitely be tough.
Now, North head over to Millicent. Now, if they can win a game like this, and it's a big ask, it'll probably secure a double chance down the track because I think they'll probably play finals. Do you think they'll find a chink in the Saints' armour?
Oh, it's hard to say, really, but I don't like their chances, unfortunately.
Okay, now I haven't seen any dispatches yet in terms of the squad teams in the senior side of things heading to Adelaide for the SA Country Carnival, so we'll keep an eye out for that. And I got an inkling, even though there hasn't been a lot of publicity, I think the juniors, 13s, 15s and 17s, head to Ballarat for the Victorian Country Championships, which you no doubt did years ago.
Yes, quite a while ago now. It seems like forever, but they'll enjoy it down there.
And do you think it'll be cold at Ballarat on Sunday if they're heading over?
Oh, absolutely. Rug up.
As always, Abby Shannon, thanks for your comments, and we'll catch up and talk Western Border netball next Friday morning.
No worries. Thank you.
For Limestone Coast, Triple M KNT Footy. Thanks to Eagle Hawk Developments. Electrical, plumbing and carpentry. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M. Triple M's Limestone Coast Footballer of the Week for Sip and Save. When you're catching up with mates, start at Sip and Save.
Nick Miler, Triple M, keeping country footy alive. And we're in the K&T segment. And as we heard, it's the Limestone Coast Sip and Save Footballer of the Week. Now, the game I centred on in the K&T was the Penola Eagles, who are sitting nicely undefeated on the top of the ladder. And just up the road is Narracourt, who've had a couple of wins this season. And fairly even first quarter, but after that, Penola kicked 7-2. In the second half. Not a high-scoring game, but you only got to win it with 35 points. And out of that game, there's a young player I haven't spoke to for a few seasons. He's on the line. He has had a good start to the season, and he's also been included in the K&T Interleague squad as an under-21 player. Good morning. Congratulations on a good game, Eagle Luke Walker.
Thanks, Milo.
Now, if our calculations are right, you're a whole 19.
Yep, that's it.
You're not the youngest one going around on the team anymore, no doubt.
No, there's a few good young players coming through, which is good.
Yeah, and you're proof perfect that you can make the transition and develop a spot for yourself. Now, right from the top, the role this year that Matty Tilby's got you undertaking, what positions has he played you through and what's he looking for?
Well, it's sort of changed a fair bit this year, just with how the team's been, as well as who we're playing. But it started the season on a back flank, which is sort of new to me, but I enjoyed it and sort of started to get a bit of the footy. Looked for lots of run and carry off that line. We had a pretty agile sort of line across there. But then, it's transferred into a forward flank and midfield role for the last couple of weeks, which is, where I'm used to playing.
So, obviously, Matty's developing the team as a flexible side. Now, you look at Scotty Merritt, and he started off as a rat bag in the back line, got a taste for a bit extra last year, and he even kicked 7 goals recently. So, you're obviously all enjoying your footy under Matty Tilby, who came from within the club.
Yeah, Tilbs are doing a great job, and, Scotty's a superstar. He can play anywhere. Tilbs has got a good vibe going, and really helping the team play well.
Did you work on anything particularly with your game or physique, etc., over the off season to improve for the season ahead?
Oh, I think kicking for me has probably been the one I've tried to work on and slowly getting better.
Okay, well, get around the goals, you'll straighten up. Now, going forward, where do you want to improve other than the kicking? Is there any other facets of the game, endurance? That sort of thing? Reading the play? Is this anything you consciously thought about that has cropped up with the season so far?
Oh, I think mainly is playing consistent. Well, the last few weeks I've been playing better as the game went on, so maybe, good starts would be the big thing for me at the minute, getting 4 quarters together.
Now, in terms of the team, it's pretty well local product or players from down our way, the Birkfield boys, etc. And, of course, Brodie Foster, we will label him a Panola Eagle well and truly. He's been up there for a while. What's the reason for that success this year? And I suppose a lot of people thought you might drop away without some big names that went back to Adelaide, some of the old ex-local boys.
Yeah, I think it's just everyone's doing their bit and everyone being local, we're all good mates, and it's just that sort of, it's the most probably enjoyable football I've played in my whole career, and I think that goes a long way into, playing a good, solid, team game.
Now, you put your hand up for Interleague as an under-21 player. Why did you decide to do that?
Oh, I think it's a good opportunity to test yourself out against the best, which is always good. Definitely a next level of football compared to your weekly A grade.
Now, you haven't played everyone yet, and you've got some terrific scalps and on the horizon. We're waiting in a couple of weeks' time for the Cougars versus Eagles game at Corkindale Park. One loss to them at this stage, and you're undefeated, as I highlighted. Now, of what you've played so far, who perhaps impressed you they might be there at the end of the season?
Oh, I'm not too sure.
You had them you had them covered, obviously, Luke.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you only got to beat what fronts, and you boys have ticked every box at this stage, and no doubt Matty Tilby's working on a continued improvement right across the board. Now, I've been talking to Luke Walker, and as we heard, he's the Sip and Save Footballer of the Week. And, of course, when you're catching up with mates, start at Sip and Save. Big thank you to Russell Nowak for that $50 voucher. He sneaks down here from Adelaide now and again. Now, I'll get that voucher out to you, Luke, and you can go around and see the crew at Hayward's Royal Oak Hotel there in Panola, John and Libby Hayward. And, of course, we won't forget Bomber in the Drive-In, one of the characters up your way. Well done on your footy so far, and there's a lot of footy to be played, and I hope you get a final gig in that Interleague and you get the opportunity to experience that level again.
Cheers, Milo.
All the best.
The Limestone Coast, Triple M KNT Footy. Thanks to Eagle Hawk Developments. Electrical, plumbing and carpentry. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M.
So we're still talking KNT, the big league. Regular commentator. He's one of the bench coaches at KLU. There's a bit of excitement there. Good morning, Mal Coates.
Morning, Milo. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. We're starting to head into winter, and gee, you've banked some wins the KLU team. But we'll look at those other games quickly. Mundala defeated Lucindor by 70 points. I know the Blue Roos have got a few out, but gee, that margin surprised me, Mal.
Well, Well, it was only five points at half time. Yeah. Someone told me so. That's that is surprising.
Yeah, blowout. Anyway, there's always reasons, and we're dealing with humans, of course, as we know. Bordertown over Kingston by 23 points, so they'll take that win. The Roosters, any win's a good win. And Keith and Kybe, well, Keith is starting to get their mojo. They defeated Kybe by 41 points, and Penola and Narracourt had a red hot dip, and it was a good game, but Penola did enough to win by 35 points. And your contest was against Padua. Your first look at them, very even first quarter, but you got it together, the Cougars, and kicked 7-1 in that second quarter, and then stayed there for a 63-point victory. So, Padua, what's your opinion now, having seen them?
Competitive. Had two or three key players out, which, as you know, when you're in the middle rung there, and we've been there too, yeah. And you have two or three good players out, it makes it hard to cover.
And the big one for KO, you know, must be very pleasing. Multiple avenues. Cameron Hitchcock, 5. Likewise, Cameron DeVissa and the coach, Nick Murphy, who kicked 4, and he's been very steady up forward. So you're not one-dimensional at the Cougars, Mal.
No, we were caught out a bit the week before against Narracourt, who played us very well, but we've tried to mix a few things up, and it worked all right Saturday.
Now, we're heading towards halfway, and Bordertown will host Kybe. Now, I reckon Bordertown are probably going into this, think they can win this at home against the Tigers.
Yeah, I think they would after going down to the seaside and winning last week. I think they'll reckon they're up and about and see what Kybe are made of. They've got to start winning.
Yeah, they've got to get together on and off the ground and start to produce. Now, Keith Crows will host Border Districts. I think the Crows are going to give him a little bit of a touch-up for me.
Yeah, very much so. I think even though we just got over them early in the season, I think they're probably the benchmark.
If Lucindale don't beat Kingston on their own oval, they're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, I think they'll beat Kingston there. I presume they would. And they'll get some players back and make a run at it, for sure.
And Narracourt have been okay so far, but they're going to find out if they're a real deal and a probable for or a possible for finals against Mundalla, who are really putting it together.
Yeah, Mundalla lost a couple of players, picked up a couple, and they'll be still a bit upset from last year, and I think they'll be having a good run through.
Padua will be looking to bounce back against the Penola Eagles, who are undefeated. I can't see it happening. What about you?
No, not unless they get those three players back, but I can't see them getting beaten, Penola.
Well, this weekend's also going to be good for KLU, because I remember you told me last week you got a few niggles, so you think the extra time will get a few back for the big top-of-the-table clash at McCorkindale Park, Penola, next Saturday, June the 2nd. Is that the case? You're confident of getting a few back, maybe?
We got a couple back last week and are running the twos, and we'll probably get I reckon there'll be two, if not hopefully three back in a fortnight. So we're getting a few back on the park, and it'll be a really big test.
As I said, we're approaching halfway. Ladder, Penola, KLU, Keith, Mundalla, Lucindale. Lucindale got those outs, including the coach, but they'll hope to get them back. But then we have a pack on the 8 points, Padua, Narracourt, Border Districts and Bordertown. Can you see any of those four pushing their way into the top 5?
Oh, very, very tough. Yeah. Depending on draws, as you know, you play a round and a half. Again, depending on the draws, but how it is now, I think, you know, it'd be very, very unlikely that someone can push up.
Mal Coots, as always, we value your comments. Enjoy the break, and we'll catch up with you next Friday morning talking big league. And we're going to preview the big clash, Penola Eagles versus the snarling KLU Cougars. Travel safe, Mal.
Good on you, Milo. Thanks, mate.
The Limestone Coast, Triple M. Western Border Footy. Thanks to the team at Ray White, Keatley, Mount Gambier and Hamilton. Local sport on the local you know.
Triple M rocks footy.
963 Triple M.
Triple M's Western Border Player of the Week for the OK Pie Shop. Celebrating over 60 years of traditional baking.
Smilo, Mount Gambier, Triple M, Limestone Coast, keeping country footy alive. We're talking Western Border Super 6. And we heard the jingle, OK Pie Shop. Good morning to Ronnie Dim and the crew at the OK Pie Shop. Of course, he's an East Woof Woof supporter and an Adelaide Crow supporter. Now, on the weekend, it was a rematch of the grand final, but it was at the Mecca, Vansittart Park, East and North Gambier. Both sides have been working very hard to get their best lineups on the grass, and it's slowly coming together. Well, I went over and had a look on Saturday, and it was East 4-3 to 1-1. And even at those early stages, North had their opportunities, but they just didn't convert. East did, and that probably in the end set East up for their 26-point victory, kicking 10 to North's 9 for the rest of the game. So that tells a story. And in that game, there's a player I've had a lot of pleasure watching develop over the seasons, firstly in Mid-Sea when he picked up the Farmer Phil Scanlon Rookie of the Year and snagged a premiership at East Gambia. Good morning. Congratulations on baller, rotation player, Jack Dore.
Yeah, go, Milo. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good. And you look like, to me, you've had a very good pre-season, Jack.
Yeah, well, our pre-season started in about November, so it's been full on and, you know, try me best every week.
Now, you're in that rotation. I know you love kicking a goal, and I still remember those two in the grand final. When you're my age, you're going to be able to enjoy them with your kids from that pocket at Caston, and you make a habit of kicking those. Do you work on it?
Not really. Actually, I try to stay away from there at training, but... I don't know, if I'm in the area, I don't really look anywhere else.
Now, your role this year, as I intimated, pretty well stock standard, rotate through the spots on the bench and back in the action?
Yeah, that's right, Miley. There's probably about four or five of us that are rotating.
Now, often when a team wins a premiership, the hunger goes, but at least this year you really haven't had your best lineup on the park yet, and that must be very frustrating for Matt Wilson, the Brains Trust, and the rest of you players.
Yeah, it is hard. Like, we've had probably, I don't know, solid 15 do pre-season, but we've probably, you know, another, I don't know, eight people away and working away and, you know, it's frustrating, but I'd prefer it to be now than the end of the year, I guess.
Yeah, it's a final four, and as Keith Ransom proved over there at West Gambia a number of seasons ago, you can get into a grand final and win a premiership from that first semi-final. Now, in terms of coach Matt Wilson, he's going solo, but he has a newly appointed assistant coach, Mark Rumbelow. Is there any marked change in the way Matt's run the show and perhaps the game plan without giving too much away from last year?
No, he's doing a great job, Matt. He's doing his best that he can, you know. He's doing it by himself now. So, I don't know, he's giving 110% as per usual.
Now, as I highlighted, there's been a bit of a revolving door and opportunities for young guys. So, from that point of view, there's obviously people putting their hand up. And when everyone's available, the way I'm reading it, there's going to be pressure on for spots.
Yeah, definitely. Once we get everyone back, you know, there's probably five, six blokes that are pushing to make a spot. So, you know, no one's spots are, you know, there, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's going to be tough when the finals come around.
Now, when the Interleague squad come out, I was surprised not to see your name there because I know you love testing yourself. So what's the story there?
I'm actually going on a trip for a couple of weeks over to Europe, so
okay.
Bit of fun, get away for a little bit.
Okay, your body will thank you for that, and you'll be cherry ripe when you come back, of course. Now, this weekend, we have another test for East Gambia, heading over to Island Park, the Caston Cats, with the Sanford connection, of course. Now, last time you played them, and I know you were a fair way off a pretty complimented side, and they've been cherry ripe and had pretty well their whole list. Well, they ended up beating you by 25 points over there at the Kennel. Now, really, this looms as a mini final and the opportunity to strike back and get one back against them.
Yeah, well, we've definitely got a few back in, so, you know, fingers crossed we can get the job done. But, you know, they're a very good side this year. They've recruited well and, you know, we'll just do our best to try to get the win.
Now, I know last year, and that's why I had no hesitation of selecting East to win the premiership because it was at Caston. And as you know, the only place there's a bit of space is on the scoreboard side there. So I think East play very good one-on-one footy. Do I read that right?
Yeah, look, that's probably one of our aims that we play on. We want to win 50-50 contests.
Yeah, and you do it well and you can't do it any better than in the grand final. Now, so the message we're getting from you, Jack, is that when everyone's available, the spot's up for grabs and that the hunger's still over there at the Kennel.
Yeah, definitely. We want to go back to back, Milo.
Okay, good to have a plan. Now, I've been talking to Jack Dore, worthy winner of our OK Pie Shop Western Border Player of the Week. I'll get that voucher out to you. Good luck on the footy front and enjoy your holiday overseas.
No worries. Thanks, Milo. Cheers for having me.
The Limestone Coast. Triple M. Western Border Footy. Thanks to the team at Ray White, Keighley, Mount Gambier and Hamilton.
Local sport on the local you know.
Triple M rocks footy.
963 Triple M.
Yes, we're still talking Western Border Super 6. Milo, Triple M, heart of Mount Gambier, keeping country footy alive and helping me for many seasons. Good morning, one of the valued members of the Ray White Kidley Noodles footy team, the Feral from the Forest, Keith Hooker-Ransom.
Yeah, good morning, Milo. Good morning, listeners.
Now we're approaching winter, so everyone will have to adjust. Now, Super 6 last weekend, Cass and Sanford, West Gambier. West went down by 18 points, very physical game. West had a few players out to start. They lost a few more, but, gee, they were right in it to half-time. 8-3 in that second half, and that home ground advantage. And Caston, as we know, they got 5 in a row at home, Keith.
They certainly have, since the netball courts were not quite ready at the start of the year, so they're looking good for the next 4 weeks, aren't they?
They certainly are. And East Gambier, North Gambier, you and I had a look at this game, and North Gambier are in catch-up mode after East kicked 4-3 to 1-1. Well, North during the day had plenty of forward 50 opportunities, but just couldn't string that three-goal sort of run together. And second half, it was 10-9, and East won by 26 points. And both sides had key players out, so they're still a bit fractured as the season unfolds. I was pretty wrapped in Tom McLennan's game for North, the big five. Best game I've seen him play, 6 out of 10. Never got a mention in the club best, but I gave him the Carlton Drive polo shirt for valuable player. So let's hope he can keep that form together. But in that game, Keith, it always amazes us, and I know we're dinosaurs from the past, when the game's there to be won, if the rotation system, which they tell me is on a computer program, on a laptop or an iPad now, says X player has to come off, even if he's one of your best players, it just happens and it just doesn't make sense to me. And we saw that with North, particularly with Nick McInerney. And the player that went on wasn't as good, with all respect, as him. And he made an impact whenever he was in the action.
Well, that was my question, Milo, when we saw McInerney had to interchange, I think, twice in 6 minutes. And the question I asked, even the timekeeper stuck his two bobs worth in by asking the question, is the player going on the oval and equal to what's coming off?
Yeah.
And the answer blatant was no. So you can't afford to have your best players unless you can replace them with the quality that you need to win the game of football, like you suggested. Yeah, I was dumbfounded with that, Milo. I mean, if they're running their whole game around a computer, we need to hack that computer, don't we?
Well, I reckon you and I might get a hold of somebody, invent a jammer, and we'll stand behind the boxes and, you know, put out a fee and say we'll fix the opposition up. But anyway, something might happen. Now, and exactly as you said, if you haven't got your best side going around, you've probably got to keep those really good players. Okay, if you've got your best combination, we've got an even spread. But East and North are not at that stage yet. But anyway, East did what they had to. They win a game and they enjoy the points, of course. Now, Millicent South. South had a red-hot dip and they're right in this to half-time. But forwards win matches, and Matty Doldig, 6 goals. And he's a beacon, and he's only going to get better as he adapts to his teammates and the tempo of Western Border footy. Now, that leads us into a round of footy. And as I intimated, Castleton once again are going to enjoy a home game. And it's East Gambier that head over there. And the last time they played there, they demolished North to win a premiership. Now, Caston Sanford, you've seen them a few times. I've seen them a few times. They really have struggled at stages to really kill sides off. And you really got to hand it to West. They must have had a red-hot dip. Now, Island Park dictates one-on-one footy to a big degree, doesn't it, Keith?
Well, it does, because it's such a small in goal-to-goal sense, but wide enough. It's a circle, not an oval, so if you can get the ball to certain areas of the oval, you can actually get that one-on-one play happening, and you can also get the ball out in front of your runners without anybody impeding the runner. Whereas when you go to McDonald Park or Vance at the Park, you seem to close those runners in a little bit. So Castleton allows that type of line breakers to play in action. You know what I mean, Milo? Like, they can get into action a lot quicker and not have to be impeded.
The only space on that scoreboard side there. Now, as we go into this game, we look at the Caston side and Will McDonald, big part, first use of the ball, and he can do that, palms beautifully either hand. Now, he's under a bit of a cloud, and they're telling us it's a chest injury, a pectoral muscle. So, but the big one is one of their recruits this year, a very universal type player, Gus Cleary, gee, he's fitted in nicely. And the other type of players they've recruited are in that midfield engine room. Curry, Callum Curry kicks goals as well. Tim Sullivan, he's in the action. That's the key, because they fill the other spots, but East have got to match up with them with that first use of the ball in that midfield zone.
Well, that would be the way you'd have to attack them, isn't it, Milo? You want to put equal power in the centre of the oval and get first use of the ball to your forward. So it's going to be an interesting game Saturday on how East can be approached the match against Castleton and how Castleton can react to it if East happen to attack the game early and get on top of Castleton. So it's going to be an interesting game, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Now, Matty Scanlon, the way he looked, I know he came back from Western Australia, a bit of a back issue, and that turned into a hamstring, so be very doubtful if he fronts. So that's a key forward swing man that can go to defence out. Now, Big Mark Rambleau is assistant coach this year. They've got a bit of a dilemma with the ruck at the moment, and I know Flynn Bowshaw is a good workhorse, and he did a good, honest job last weekend. But if McDonald's in and Cleary's still going around, that's a big ask. Now, I reckon Rumbelow's got to put his hand up and go into the ruck, Keith, because he's the tallest man in that side. And centre forward's not a key position except perhaps from the kickouts on one end there at Caston. So I'd like to see him go into the heat and use his height and jump in the ruck.
Well, I suppose it gets to a certain stage of the year where you've got injuries and Kieselback seems to be a way off. They might have to look at that, Milo, even if he rucked the half of the oval and allowed the other ruckman to play behind the ball's defensive role. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's time that they use their tools to their advantage.
And Jaden Eldridge, I think you're a bit like me. You know what matchup I'd like there?
Yeah, Jaden Eldridge, Callum Curry would be a very good matchup.
It'd be worth going to see. And Jaden's got a taste. He kicked a couple of goals last week, and I think he enjoyed it. And I'd like to see him freed up. He's done the hard yards in defence. Let him start to really enjoy his footy. Now, Coach Matt Wilson, he's a very good user of the ball. I saw him the week before against Millicent wasting his time on the kickouts. He should be in the heat making things happen. I want to see him on the wing at Casson running free, Keith.
Yeah, well, that's an option he's got, I suppose, Molly. He can play himself anywhere, but look, he's in charge. He's doing what he has to do to try and win a game of footy. So it'll be interesting to see how he lines up and how he focuses on the opposition this week. And matchups is the key, isn't it?
And, of course, who lines up. And it's going to be a great game, Keith. I'm probably just going to lead to Caston because it's at home, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if East don't get up. And I reckon this is a preview of the Western Border Grand Final, which will be held at McDonald Park at the end of the season there.
Well, I'm going to go for the old dog gutsy
woof,
win.
Woof.
I reckon East Gambia, if they get their matchups right, they put their players in their right positions, can actually get over Caston.
Now, yep.
Yeah, sorry, the last game I seen them play was that windy, woolly day, and it could have went either way.
Okay, let's hope it's a great game for you. Now, West Gambia will host South Gambia, and this is a bit of a danger game if West don't get the likes of Steve Wendland back, who missed the game entirely. And I know Tommy Holmes picked up a bit of a cork thigh, and there's obviously a few other nickels. West at home still?
Yeah, still West at home.
In front of the sponsors and the past players and the rat Johnny Platten. Enjoy the day, boys. And, of course, Millicent will host North Gambia. This is another great game. This could be a double chance game. North have really got to pick up a win. Can Millicent hold them off over there over at the home dunghill?
One oval I used to hate going to play footy at, Milo. They're so strong on that oval, Millicent. So you had to fight nail and tooth to beat them. I'll go for Millicent.
Okay, I'm probably going to go for Millicent at home. Keith, you enjoy the footy and woof woof. And no doubt you'll catch up with a lot of old faces there at Caston as well.
Will do, Milo.
Triple M, Mid-Southeast footy for the Matthews Hotels, the Gambia, the Southeastern and the Park Hotels. Supporting grassroots footy in the Southeast. Triple M's Mid-Southeast Footy League Player of the Week. For the Athlete's Foot, visit one of their expert fit technicians at the Athlete's Foot Mount Gambier.
Yes, we're talking Mid-Sea, of course, the Family League, and as we heard, Athlete's Foot Player of the Week. And, of course, a big thank you to Athlete's Foot Mount Gambier. Visit one of their expert fit technicians at the Athlete's Foot and tell them Uncle Milo sent you. Our Player of the Week picks up a $50 voucher. Now, round of matches and round seven. We're nearly halfway, so things are starting to shape. And there's some games that looming, and there was one on the weekend about aspirants who might pinch a spot in the finals action. It was Port Mac versus Tandanoola, and it was Tand out of the blocks 5-2 to the Bay 2-1. And for the rest of the game, it was Port Mac kicking 9 to Tantanula's 4 goals, so they won by 37 points. And out of that game, the coach had a good game, and he'd be pretty pleased the way the boys are travelling. Good morning, congratulations, Benny McGregor.
G'day, Milo, how are you?
Now, they had a fair breeze to jump you, or were they just all over you?
No, just all over us, to be honest. Wasn't so much weather-related at all. They came out of the blocks pretty well, and we weren't clean early. We fumbled everything early, so, yeah, they were very good. Left their forward line very open and made the most of it.
Okay, you settled down and you won the game. That's all you have to do. Now, this year, and I had a good look at you at the pre-season carnival, and it was pretty well obvious it's going to be all about local products, staying with what you got and promoting rookies, lads up from the senior Colts. Now, obviously, you'd be pretty pleased the way it's shaping, Benny.
Yeah, at this stage, Milo. Obviously, a few outgoing players at the end of last season who we didn't manage to cover too well on the recruiting front. And so we basically brought in Jack Prime as the only new guy that we brought in at the start of the season, and he's given us a fair bit so far. Other than that, we had a lot of our kids coming up that come up from the senior Colts on a permanent basis, and they've all been really good for us and helped cover some of those areas. And we're sitting 3-3 now, having played probably the top four other sides. So, yeah, we're sitting probably quite nicely at the moment for what we've got, yeah.
Now, Mark Smith, is he starting to put together his very best footy? And I'm glad he's kicking goals because he was a prolific century goal kicker in the juniors up here and he lost his mojo with that. Is he really starting to hit his straps and mature as a player, Mark?
Yeah, he is. He has been for a few years now, Milo. He probably as a junior kicked a lot of goals. Mm. Was probably maybe a bigger kid in the juniors then and probably stopped growing, and he's just developed into a midfielder, basically a primary midfielder who spends a little bit of time up forward but plays a bit across half-back as well. So he's kicking his goals from the mid and playing quite well.
Now, what have you specifically worked on from day one with the side?
One of the big things we've sort of probably promoted this year is positivity and being prepared to absorb the hard times, I suppose. And with such a young group coming through, we've got to be patient, and that's right across the footy club, not just within the team. And, you know, we've got to be realistic and know that there's going to be some of those periods when we play the teams like your Mount Burrs and your Kalangadoos where things aren't going to go your way. But we've got to, as I said, absorb them and move on with it and not let it get to us too much. So, you know, the group we've got coming through is probably a pretty good mix of all those young kids, but some pretty experienced guys with level heads there as well that have helped bring that on.
Now, talking level heads and experience, Darren Roo McElroy, obviously Will McDonald goes with the club's blessing, been a terrific servant, and I'll say he'll end up back there eventually. He's still in his prime, and let's hope he gets a flag with the Gaston Sanford Cats, where it all started for him. But the Roo, obviously a little bit more of a workload on him, and I'd say he'd be revelling in it, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he is. He definitely is, and he stepped up there as far as being a senior player goes. Probably come down to the club as a ruckman, primarily as a ruckman from West, and didn't get the opportunity to play in the ruck as much as he probably would have liked because we had Will there and played a fair bit as an on-baller the last year or two. This year, obviously, stepped up to that number one ruck role, and, yeah, he's thrived. Loves the workload, loves that extra workload, prides himself on his fitness and his work rate, and, yeah, he's really thrived on it, and he was really good again on the weekend.
You got Hatherley on the hop, and you pinched a win, and that's all you got to do, and beat the sides that are vying for that final four spot as well as the Bay. Now, the Doo and Mount Burr, of the two, are they hard to split, or which one do you reckon's shaping in terms of personnel and the way they're playing their footy?
Yeah, hard to split, Milo. probably two totally different teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, hard to split. I mean, we've been on the end of pretty heavy losses to both of them so far this year. And I think Mount Burr are one of those sides that their entire team have played together for a long time. They go into it, you know, they carry 0 points as far as player points goes. And they've all been together and know each other like the back of their hand. Kalangadoo have got some really good players there in the older probably category, I suppose, and experience. But then they've brought in some really good players this year too. So They'll get better as they play longer together. But then the Mount Burr guys just know what to do and keep doing it.
Long way to go. Now, I've been talking to Benny McGregor, and the young fellas in these squad are in good hands because he's reached the heights. He's our athlete's foot player of the week. If you slip into the athlete's foot, there'll be a $50 voucher there waiting for you, Benny, and you can do what you like with it. Now, good luck. Well done so far, but as you tell the boys, the job's not done. You've got a plan and you've got a goal this year, and let's hope they can do what you ask, and you have a bit of luck and you pinch a spot in the finals, Benny.
Beautiful, Milo. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Triple M, Mid-Southeast footy for the Matthews Hotels, the Gambia, the Southeastern and the Park Hotels. Supporting grassroots footy in the Southeast.
Yes, we're talking Mid-Southeast footy, the Family League, and the eyes and ears of Mid-Southeast footy deep in the bowels of the SE Times in Millicent. Good morning, Freddie Smith.
Yes, good morning to you, Milo.
Well, we're getting towards the halfway mark, 18-game season, round 7. Port Mac accounted for Tandanula by 37 points, so very important winners. I highlighted to our athletes' foot winner just a while ago, Coach Benny McGregor. So, Tand obviously had their chances. They were up 8-4 to 4-5 at half time, but the Bay had what it took and won that game.
Yes, they did indeed, Milo. I think they might have swapped Guernseys at half time because the Tigers only managed one goal in those final two quarters. And as you said, Ben McGregor led from the front, and that kept their finals chances well and truly alive.
And Mount Burr had to kick 10 more points exactly to defeat Hatherley. So Hatherley must be starting to get their best line-up back.
They're getting a few back, Milo, but that's the third game they've lost by less than a couple of goals. So if they'd won all those three games, they'd be probably second place. But they're down in sixth. They played really well on Saturday, but the Burr boys just had that little bit extra, a little bit of extra muscle in that last quarter, and they got over the line. And a couple of celebrities there on the hill watching Leith Forest, Tony Modra and Chris McDermott.
There you go. They lifted them to those heights. Now, Prince Alfred College Old Scholars number 2, normally known as the Robe Roosters, well, they had a 61-point win over Robe, doubling their score. So picked up a bit of percentage, the boys that want to play finals from the seaside.
Certainly do, Milo, and Congrong were with them for two or three quarters, but when you've got the two Pitt brothers firing and getting 10 goals between them, they've got 30 each to head the table. The Roosters look very good indeed.
Show me the money within the salary cap. I wonder if they're on a bonus dollar per goal, all within the salary cap, of course. No passing off or handballing when that happens. Freddie, interesting scenario. Now, Glencoe and Ngwarri. Glencoe won as expected, 158 points. Now, the Phil Mihojevic medal went to Aaron Herron. Now, obviously, it's not for the best player. It's a different category.
That's right, Milo. It's a sportsmanship award. That's what they judge it on. The umpires get together with the officials from the Ngwarri and Glencoe football clubs and also the Mihojevic family. So there's a lot of input into that decision, and it's pretty much unanimous. I think it was unanimous that Aaron would get that highly esteemed award.
I'm talking about the Pitt boys, neck and neck, Craig and Jake, ex-Lucendale Products, 30 goals apiece. So we'll watch that with interest. Jack Gregory, 25, and Lockie Jones, Kalangadu, 25, right up there, clacker, so to speak. I don't think you're still allowed to say clacker, Freddie. It could be a horn, couldn't it? Now, we have a round this week, and it is round 8. Hatherley will host Tandanula. Quick selection.
I'd go for Hatherley on the strength of last week's honourable loss to Mount Burr.
Yeah, eagle to soar for me. Port Mac and Congrong in the Derby Derby.
The Ian Smith Trophy will stay at the Bay.
There's a trophy for everything now. I'm going to stay with the Bay boys. Robe will host Glencoe. Gee, match of the day, this one, Freddie.
Yeah, I hope to be there, Milo. I reckon it'll be a great game of footy, and the Roosters for me.
Yeah, cock-a-doodle-doo for me as well. And Ngwarri will host Kalangadu. Big day in the office, particularly the defenders for Ngwarri. Kalangadu to kick a big bag.
I think you're right, Milo.
Now, just before we go, ladder, Kalangadu, Mount Burr, Robe, we're really starting to agree they are the probables, Freddie. And the possibles, fourth spot, Port Mac, Glencoe, Hatherley and Tandanula. Still too early to call?
Maybe Congrong if they get their best team together. But too early to call, Milo. So you've got eight realistic chances of premierships in the Mid-Southeast, and that's a good way to be.
And we're hopeful that a interleague squad will come through on Sunday night because Smith is either the last one to do that, and the other two, K&T and Western Board, have already had a training run before the Zone Carnival at the seaside at Robe. Freddie, you can take us out as always.
See you at the footy.
You betcha.